have had a very beautiful and dry summer year 2013 in Denmark. Today is the 28th of July, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my book, Martinus, Darwin and Intelligent Design. It has been published in 8 different languages, and it has also been published in English. I'm going to give a lecture on the subject Evolution and World Picture. Here we go. Yes, I would like to give a lecture with the title Evolution and World Picture. And in the biology, in the Darwinism, they talk about evolution, and it is a gradual process. It takes place in small steps. And Martinus also agrees that evolution is a gradual process. And the basis of the evolutionary theory of Martinus is very simple. Every time when you have made an experience, you have developed. Every time when you have trained, every time when you have practiced, you have developed. So it's a very simple theory of evolution in a way. But there have been many different world pictures. In the old Egypt, they had a world picture with 7 different heavens. There were 7 heavens. And the old Greek people had their world picture. The Romans had their world picture. 500 years ago, they had a world picture. The world picture has been changing very much. And a few years ago, there was a 300 years jubilee for the Swedish biologist Carl von Linné. I'm not quite sure. I think he was born in 1704 or something like that. And he was a very, very clever guy. He was a genius. He was the first man to make a systematical description of the plants. He could divide them in different families and species. It was very done in a very systematical way. And also in zoology, he could divide all the animals in different families and species and groups and so on. And if you see the Latin name of some plant or animal, often there is an L in cramps. And that is because Linné, he gave it the name. He was also Christian, and he had no idea of evolution. He thought that all the species were constant, and also all religious people. In the Bible, it's written that God created the world in 6 days. And on the 7th day, he said, "See, everything is very good." And Martinus thinks that God is right. Everything is very good. That is the basic conclusion of the major analysis of Martinus. That is that everything is very good. But on the first day, God created, I don't remember, heaven and earth and light and darkness. And on the 4th day, he created the birds and the fishes. On the 5th day, the animals on planet Earth. And on the 6th day, he created human beings. And the 7th day was Sunday, like today, where everything is very good. And even this genius Linné and all the people who lived at his time thought that an elephant is an elephant. It has always been an elephant, and it shall go on being an elephant. And a giraffe, a lion, a tiger, a dog, a cat, they thought that it was totally constant. They had no idea of evolution. And they thought that all species were constant existing. And in a way, it's very logical. Because in the lifetime of one man, you cannot see a zebra develop into a giraffe. It takes millions and millions of years. So, of course, it was logical for the people of that time. You cannot turn into a new species from an old species. That takes too long time. So people were thinking that there was no evolution. It was very stationary. But it was in the geology. They started to have an idea about evolution. If you just have a little lake in the forest, you can see that there are leaves falling into the sea and through the lake, and there are sediments, and the sediments are growing and growing and growing. And the geologists studied also these different layers, in the ocean, also on land, and they got the idea that the earth was changing. The earth was not static, and they could find different layers, and they could tell how old these layers were. So that really changed the view. That was for the first time, I guess it was in 1700 and something, they started to have these ideas that planet Earth is not constant, it's changing, it's developing. And there was also a French biologist called Lamarck, Jean-Baptiste de Lamarck. He was 50 years before Darwin. And during the Industrial Revolution in England, they were making mines and building big cities. They were digging in the earth. And also in Paris, they were digging in the earth, and they found many different fossils. They found animals that had lived in the ocean. And they found out that if you dig very deep to very old layers, you find very primitive organisms. But in the younger layers that are higher, you find more developed species. So, for example, human beings or mammals, you only find in the highest, in the youngest layers. And the deeper you dig, the more primitive the organisms are becoming. And then he got the idea of evolution. So Lamarck was the first biologist to get an idea, to make a theory of evolution due to scientific facts, because they had found many fossils. The older the layer, the deeper, the more primitive organisms. But Lamarck was also ridiculed a little bit for some of his theories. He had the idea that the Greek giraffe has a very long neck because it's trying to reach the leaves on the tree. And it had been trying and trying and trying. And according to normal biology, what you learn in one lifetime cannot be passed on to the offspring. What you learn in your lifetime, you cannot give to your children or the offspring. Only through teaching, not through the genes and chromosomes. Your genes and chromosomes don't change because you are studying in a book, because you are playing on the piano. Your genes and chromosomes are not changing. So the biologists, they really claim that everything you have learned in a lifetime cannot be inherited, cannot be passed on to the offspring. So, but I shall also talk about the theory of evolution of Martinus. You can inherit it yourself, because Martinus is talking about that all living beings are eternal living beings, and all living beings have an eternal kernel, a super consciousness that is eternal. And then you can store all the information that you have collected during your lives without its lost. We die at a certain time, and the physical organism goes under and disappears. And then you think that all your experiences, all your talents will disappear. But they can be stored in this body of eternity, the eternal body. So that's another story. And Darwin, he published his book about the origin of species in 1859. And it was sold out the first day it was published. And I guess 1 week later they had a new edition, and it was sold out in a few days. And they printed a new edition, and it was sold out in a few days. So it was really, really a bestseller. And there was a very, very big discussion, because there was sort of a mental war between the scientists and the people who were believing in God, the Catholics or also the evangelists. There was a big fight because Darwin claimed that human beings have developed from the monkeys, from the apes, and they thought it was terrible because God had created man as he is, and the monkeys as they are. So there was no evolution. And this debate is going on just until today. There has been a discussion for 150 years. How come that you can argue for 150 years and they cannot agree, still not agree? And I think, through the glasses of the Martinus cosmology, both parts have a part of the truth. In the Darwinism, there is a fragment of truth, and that is especially the gradual evolution, that you can change from one species to another, the gradual evolution. But then, on the other side, there is the creationists. Some still believe that God has created the different species. But in America, there was a very big debate because they wanted to teach the biblical explanation in the classes of biology. And they said, this is not science, this is religion. You cannot teach religion in the classroom where we have biology. And then they tried to explain it in a scientific way. And it went to the Supreme Court and they said, this is a religion. You are not allowed to teach religion in biology classes. But then they made a new theory and it was called the intelligent design theory. This is not based on the Bible. This is a scientific theory. And Darwin is one scientific theory and the theory of intelligent design is another scientific. Now you have to teach both theories in the biology classes. But it also went to the Supreme Court. They said that this intelligent design theory still is religion. But they have different arguments. They argue very much from the fossils, because very often you don't find the transition states. There is the reptiles. There is thousands and thousands of different species of reptiles. And according to Darwin, the reptiles can develop into birds. And that's a very, very big change from reptiles into birds. And you have only found that this Archaeopteryx, this is this reptile bird. But there must be millions of transition states between, but they have not been found. And they argue from that. And Martinus even writes about the fossils, he says. But the fossils, they might have existed. Maybe they were not fossilized, or maybe science have not found them yet. So Martinus don't think that the lack of fossils is a proof. But for example, there is this with the coagulation of blood. They have a good argument. The theory among scientists today is that there is two main factors in the evolution. And the first is mutation. There is some changes that takes place by chance. And if the mutation gives an advantage in the struggle for life, this is passed on to the offspring and it will survive. So good mutations that give an advantage in the survival for the existence will be transferred. And if there is no advantage in the battle for survival, they will be extinct. So, according to this, a mutation or a skill or a talent can only be passed on if it gives an advantage in the struggle for life. But when you take the coagulation of blood, it's a very complicated biochemical process. For the first, you need 10 different enzymes in order to bring the blood to coagulation. And an enzyme is a very complicated molecule. There are from 100 up until 2,000 amino acids in one enzyme. And it is very difficult to create an enzyme by chance. I don't know, here in Denmark, when they are playing on football matches, we have 10 matches. And it is one cross two. Would it be home win or draw, or would the other part win? And if you only have 13 matches, and there is only 3 possibilities, there is more than a million possibilities of the different combinations. But imagine on the first place you can take 20 different amino acids, not only 3, 20. On second place you can still have 20 different amino acids. And if you then have 100 or 1,000 amino acids, it's incredible that just one single enzyme should be created by chance. But you have to have 10 enzymes in order to have the blood to coagulate. If you only miss one these 10 enzymes, the blood cannot coagulate. And I don't know really the English word, the bleeders. I think in the English royal family, they had some genes for this bleeding disease. And this means that you have to have 10 enzymes that works at the same time. If you only have one enzyme, it's okay, but it doesn't give any advantage in the struggle for life, then it won't survive. If you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 enzymes, they still do not give any advantage in the struggle for life. And I find that is a very good argument. So the aim or the goal for the intelligent design theory is only to say that Darwin is wrong. They try to show that Darwin is wrong. And they think they have succeeded, and then they say there must be another cause than mutations and survival of the fittest. There must be another cause. There must be an intelligent cause. And then they don't say any more. And in a way, that's fairly... Yeah, that's quite fair. But Martinus, he is also explaining much more about the consciousness behind the evolution. But to Darwinists, to modern science, consciousness doesn't play any role in the evolution. They found out there is a gene, I guess it is ASPN gene. It makes a mutation every 5,000 years, and then the human beings get a bigger brain, and we become more intelligent. But this means if you want to develop, we have to sit down for 5,000 years and wait for a mutation to occur. I mean, according to Martinus, we can sit down and study the books and train our intelligence. Then we will develop. But according to natural science, you can only develop when you get better genes. And they come around by mutations. So that is also a very special theory. So, according to Martinus, Darwin is right. Yes, there is a gradual evolution. One species can develop into another species. But on the other hand, Martinus thinks that the development of the consciousness is the driving force behind the evolution. And you can talk about a universal consciousness. And Martinus, in his world picture, is talking about 6 kingdoms. There are physical kingdoms and there are spiritual kingdoms. And in the kingdom of intelligence, also called the kingdom of wisdom, Martinus says, this intelligent design takes place. The houses, our clothes are designed. If you take a city like Copenhagen, 1 million inhabitants, it is designed. You have to have water, electricity, gas, roads, railways, and so on. Everything is designed. Every ingenious construction that has a purpose is designed. And the people in the intelligent design theory compares the cell. Biochemistry is the chemistry of the cell. And if you take out just one part of a cell, maybe you take out some enzymes or you take out one part of a cell, then the cell cannot work anymore. Just like in the motor of a car. Maybe you can just make one cut or take out one part of the motor in a car and the car cannot drive anymore, which shows that it has been planned. It's very complicated. It's according to a plan. There must have been an intelligence behind. But also, Martinus says, the consciousness of the individual plays a very big role in the evolution. So there is a design for our body. Martinus is talking very much about some parts of our brain that is prepared for cosmic consciousness. He has not pointed out where the different parts are, but we have some parts of the brain that has been prepared for religious understanding. When we had the first religious teaching, there were preachers and so on, then our brain was bombarded by religious teaching. And that awakened some centers in the brain that was already prepared for religious understanding. And the higher we come, we start to use higher and higher centers. And Martinus says there are some parts of our brain that are prepared for cosmic consciousness or for intuition. So, according to Martinus, there is a design behind. Our brain is prepared for a higher step in evolution. And this would mean that there is this sign that has still not proved that it is useful in the evolution. A simple argument is, for example, if a bird should develop wings, when it can fly, it has an advantage in the struggle for life. But as long as you only have a quarter of a wing or a half a wing, you can still not fly. So that would not give any advantage in the struggle for life. So that's also a little bit illogical. But Martinus thinks that our organisms has first been invented as machines. Our eye has once been a camera. And also the bird that can fly have wings. That has been invented by flying machines. And our heart is a pump, and the kidneys is some kind of filtration plant, and all these things that work in living organisms, all the different organs, were once simple machines that were invented by living beings, and then they were gradually improved, and in the end, they were built into living organisms. And Martinus thinks when we, in the evolution, comes into the spiritual world and come into the kingdom of wisdom, the kingdom of intelligence, then we can also work with creation of new organisms. And then we can use the latest inventions from the physical world. We have invented computers and internet and what is it called, satellites, communication and so on. And all these inventions can later on be built into new living organisms. Martinus thinks that all living beings are eternal. But in order to have an eternal life experience, you have to have the possibility to experience something new for eternity. That is a condition. You cannot go on and on and on and then experience the same thing. Sometimes you talk about you can get a blackout. If you drink too much, you get a blackout. But Jesus taught you should just behave well and then you go on to paradise. And Buddha said you should behave well and then you will go on to Nirvana. That was enough teaching for these people. But for that reason, many people think that we will eventually get cosmic consciousness. We will go to Nirvana, we will go to paradise, and then we will be in God's consciousness. We will be together with God for the rest of the eternity. But then we would get a white out. Because we would only see light, 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 light. And we can also here in the northern countries become snow blind. If you are in the snowstorm, it's only snow, snow, snow. At the end, you cannot see anything. So for that reason, a condition for an eternal life experience is that you have access to at least two contrasts. You have for eternity to have access to the two contrasts. And then you have the possibility to vary your experiences. And the details can be varied for eternity because you can create new bodies all the time. You can create new variations. When you have been in the physical part of the spiral cycle, you can use all the latest experiences and build them into new living organisms. So the eternal life is very dynamic. Natural science is talking about evolution of the physical body. And of course that's very interesting to a biologist. But they are only talking about the evolution of the physical body. And Martinus is talking very little about the evolution of the body. Because Martinus is interested in the evolution of the consciousness. That is the main theme for Martinus. And Martinus talks about a physical world and a spiritual world. And that is the two big contrasts. And we have a period in the physical world, and then we have a period in the spiritual world, and then a period in the physical world and in the spiritual world. Because we have to have access to both contrasts. I guess it's really hot today, around 30 degrees, And now we think it's too hot, so it's very nice to get out tonight and feel the chill. Because when you are satiated from heat, chill is very pleasant. But here in Denmark, we had a very bad, cold, long winter. And then we were longing for summer, sunshine and heat. And now we had too much. So that is a law of nature. You will have all your desires, all your wishes will be fulfilled. But you can become satiated. And when you're satiated from one contrast, you're longing for the opposite contrast. And if in winter you want to make a man of snow, you roll it over and over and over. And for every turnover, you have added a layer to your growth. And that is the same in Martinus' eternal evolution. You are also rolling over and over and over. And for every turnover, you have added a layer to your evolution. In his main work, The Eternal World Picture, Martinus is only describing 7 spirals. He thinks that the atoms and molecules are living beings. And they start in the physical world, as primitive cells and primitive molecules, but they work together with other molecules and become very ingenious in molecule reactions. And when they are perfect, they go into the spiritual world. And when they are having their white out there, they're satiated from the spiritual world, they are longing for the physical world. But then they enter at a higher level as primitive cells. And then they train and practice and train and practice as plant cells, as animal cells, human being cells. And then at the end, they have become perfect cells and go into the spiritual world. And when they return, they have to go one step up. And then they start as primitive organs. And then at the end of the physical world, they have become perfect organs and go into the spiritual world and come back as primitive organisms. And we have once been very primitive organisms, but now we have a very developed organism, and at the end we will become perfect human beings and go into the spiritual world. And it goes on, and Martinus has described that the planet Earth is a living being, the solar system is a living being, our galaxy, the Milky Way is a living being, and it's going on. And then we have this eternal evolution. And in the Darwinism, almost all experiences are wasted in the evolution, because what really counts in the evolution is a mutation that takes place by chance. That's the most important thing. It's not important what you learn. And you know, we have a cell kernel nuclei. And in this, we have human beings, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes. And there's a huge amount of information in these cells. You can take one cell from a sheep or from a cow, and through cloning you can create a whole animal. It is incredible. There is so much information in these 23 chromosome pairs, and a huge amount of information. You know how to create lungs and heart and enzymes and eyes and everything. And if you ask, where does this information come from? It has come from mutations that has taken place by chance, by hazardous changes, by changes that occurs without any meaning. If you, to a natural scientist, says there is a meaning in life, the life is planned, the life has a goal, they think, you are religious, this is deeply religious, this has nothing to do with science. The evolution has nothing to do with planning or having a goal. It takes place by chances. And you don't know which direction will the evolution take. You have no clue. You don't know, because it takes place by chances. So this huge amount of information has, so to speak, come out of the blue air by chances. But it survives because it gives an advantage in the struggle of life. And when you end this life, maybe you have not even had children, or maybe you had some children when you were 20 or 30 years old. But what about all the things that you learned in your life? Maybe you can become a genius in piano playing, in math, in chemistry. Okay, you can pass a little bit of your knowledge on to others. But you take your own geniosity, you take your own talents with you in the grave. And imagine all the interesting experiences that you've made through your lifetime. They will also disappear in the grave. And in a way, you went to school, you did your homework, you went to work, you did your work, you were a good citizen, and you have collected so much information. Every day you have experiences. You train and practice. You collect a huge amount about information. And what happens to the information? Disappears in the blue air. So isn't it an interesting theory? The information in the chromosomes and genes come out of the blue air, and all the information you collect through life disappear in the blue air. So maybe there is a connection through the blue air. And the backbone in the Martinus theory of evolution is that every time when we train and practice, whenever we repeat an action, we create a talent. And this talent, he calls it a talent kernel. It can be stored in the eternal body, in the super consciousness, so it survives the death of the body. And then you can save all the talents you've created in the life. And I think that gives meaning in life. Then there is a meaning in life. No experience is wasted. No training, no practice is wasted. I think that gives meaning. But on the other hand, life is like an absurd theater. I'm training and training, collecting information, but it's lost. But then when I'm born with a huge amount of information, but it has come out of the blue air by chance. So it is, if that is the biggest problem, talking about evolution, with scientists, because they believe in a one life theory. And Martinus, he has an eternal life theory. So that's two completely different theories of evolution. And if you only have one life, the French philosophers are right. Life is an absurd theater. There is no justice in life. Somebody is born with a good health and somebody is born with a bad health. Some is disabled, some are very healthy, some are ingenious. It is, some people are born in rich countries, some people are born in poor countries, some people die when they're 1, 2, 5, 10 years old, and some people have accidents, and life is totally unjust. Life is totally illogical, and there is no love. So, as Martinus puts it, if we only have one life, life is unjust, it's illogical, and it is without love. But if we have an eternal life, it turns out to be the opposite. If we have an eternal life, everything is very logical. And if you have been rich in one life, maybe you will be poor in the next life. If you have lived very healthy in one life, you will be healthy in the next life. If you have had bad habits and destroyed your health capital, so to speak, you can be born with a bad health. Martinus argues for the fact that when a child is born with an illness, the cause is in its own previous lives. It looks as if it has inherited its illness from the parents, because you can see that on the genes and chromosomes. But Martinus goes a step further, because you can say in one way it's true that the genes that you inherit from your parents can be the cause to a disease. I studied biochemistry at the Technical University of Denmark. And I was so fascinated the first time I heard about they could find the cause of a disease on a molecular level. You can have some inborn metabolic errors. You cannot digest your food. There is some, and maybe you get too fat because you have genes for this disease. And I was very fascinated, because they say there is In this DNA molecule, there is a mistake, there is an error. And for that reason, this enzyme is also wrong. And for that reason, you cannot digest this compound. And for that reason, I found that that was really fascinating. That in some cases, you can track an illness down to the molecular level. But if you are asking questions, you could also ask, why are you born with that illness? And then Martinus says that there is a law of attraction and repulsion. And the genes in the chromosomes are a mirror image of your own talents. So, in the process of incarnation, you are attracted to the genes, to the mutations, that is a mirror image of your own talent kernels. And I have a theory, I don't know if it is right, but maybe your own consciousness can create a mutation. So you can have a useful mutation for your talent kernels, but I cannot have it proved. But in general, it is the consciousness that controls the physical world, and not the physical world that controls the consciousness and the spiritual world. So there is, why am I born with dispositions for an illness? Because I've lived in a wrong way in my previous lives. And if you repeat and repeat and repeat an error, it can have severe consequences. Martinus gives an example. If you smoke cigarettes, and you smoke maybe 20, 30, 40 per day, a whole lifetime, maybe two or three or four lives after each other, then you are destroying your lungs. But you're not only destroying your lungs in a physical way, you are also destroying the talent kernels for creating healthy lungs. That's the most serious part. So whenever a human being is born with a disease, the cause is that you have lived in a wrong way. You have had wrong habits for a long time. So Martino thinks if you are overweighted, you have overweight because of the genes from your parents. Martinus will argue, yes, but you have got these genes because you have eaten too much in your own previous lives. So anyway, science is right. You get it from your parents, but that is not the deepest cause. You are always, you yourself, the deepest cause to your own situation. Well, I just got an association, and Martinus talks about unnatural fatigue. You can think in a certain way. You can have some patterns of thought where you get very depressed. Now in Denmark, people very often get burned out syndrome, a stress syndrome, they are tired, they are depressed, they get a nervous breakdown. And I'm very convinced that is because they have a materialistic view of life. Because the materialistic view of life tells you life is an absurd theater. There's no justice in life, it's illogical, there's no love. But if you have this eternal life theory, life is logical. Life is just, and there is a love behind everything. And then Martinus explains that you can get these patterns. You feel yourself as a victim. The others are the cause of my problems. Then you try to change the others. If my husband would stop to drink alcohol, if my wife would stop to do so, if my children would stop to do so, if my boss or my colleagues would stop to do so, life would be wonderful. And you try to change them and you cannot succeed. And then you get very depressed. And Martinus says that you can lose life power if you feel as a victim. You could possibly change yourself. But why should I change myself? Because I have not made any mistakes. It's always the others who make the mistakes. And it is impossible to change the consciousness of the others. But you have the possibility to change your own consciousness. But you very often don't get the idea. And then you can get into a state where you suffer from unnatural fatigue. And in the end, it can lead to a nervous breakdown because you feel you are a victim. You are a martyr. The others are the cause. And the best medicine is, according to Martinus, that you study the cosmic analysis, that you study the cosmic world picture, and then you can understand, I am the cause of my own fate. I have created my own situation. I have created my own body, my own health state, my own situation in all physical and all psychological places or stages. You are responsible yourself for your own life. You are a 100% responsible for your own life. And then Martino says, life force starts to return. That's really the medicine, just to realize. You shouldn't blame the others. There are some therapists who work on a natural scientific basis. And I have now understood they have some progress, but they start, you have to accept that the situation is what it is. That's the first thing. Maybe you have lost a foot in an accident, or you have had a disease, or you have an operation, or I don't know, whatever. But the starting point now is, don't blame others, don't think about the past. You just have to accept that the situation is what it is. That's very healthy, and it's a good remedy that you can use this. But with the cosmic world picture, you can even understand that I'm the cause of my own situation, my own fate. So that is very important. But you don't get much help for positive thinking in the materialistic world picture, because life is without any plan, without any purpose, without any goal, and it is ruled by chances. So that gives a very negative way of thinking, and you have a very negative world picture. And I'm very convinced it is only in these few centuries around our time that we will have so many suicides and nervous breakdowns. They were not so common before, when you believed blind in the religions. And they will not occur with the same frequency in the future when you get the cosmic world picture. And the words world picture are also in the title. And what should we do with a world picture? Why has Martinus created a world picture? How should a world picture be useful? And as I started, there have been many world pictures, but Martinus has made an eternal world picture. And Martinus says that, in contrast to all previous world pictures, this world picture will not change. It will eternally be the same. And he also says, an eternal world picture has to be a picture of the eternity. And that is the basis of all Martinus' analysis. That is eternity. I guess some 10 years ago, there was a conference in Copenhagen that was nuclear physicists, and they were working with theoretical physics, and they were chasing the theory of everything. They are speaking about four major forces. There is the electromagnetic force, there is the gravitational force, and there is the weak and the strong nuclear forces. And Einstein, the last half of his life, tries to put everything on one formula. And they also have this string theory, and they're really chasing the theory of everything. And when I read about that, I thought, oh, you could say Martinus cosmology is the theory of everything. Because what is the theme of Martinus' eternal world picture? What is he working with? He is working with absolutely everything that exists. Martinus' world picture is eternal because he is speaking about an eternal past and about an eternal future. So you have to take all time into account. And he is talking about mesocosmos, about minerals, plants, and animals. But he is also talking about living beings, organs, cells, molecules, and it goes on for infinity. Just, it's easier to understand with the numbers. You can say 0.1, which, if I'm one, my organs is 0.1, the cells are 0.01, the molecules is 0.001, and you can go on 0.00001, and you can understand, because math is sort of theoretical, you can understand, you can go on for an infinity down in microcosmos, and go on for infinity in macrocosmos. So Martinus has taken everything in account. And I've been thinking about the most basic things in Martinus cosmology for many, many years, and I always reach the same result. Life exists and life works. And Martinus thinks that life is an eternally existing phenomenon. Natural science think in terms of created things. They are temporal. A chair, a window, painting, all the things created by human beings have a begin and an end. And for that reason, they think everything must have a start and an end. For that reason, they say, when was the universe created? When did life come around? They think that the universe was created 14 billion years ago. They think life was created by chance 3.4 billion years ago. But they cannot imagine that the universe has existed for eternity. Life has existed for eternity. Martinus, one of the most basic theories of Martinus is you cannot create energy out of nothing, and energy cannot turn into nothing. Energy just simply exists. And when a thing just simply exists, it has no start, it has no end, it has never been created. Every created thing has a cause and a begin, but there are some things that are just simply eternal. And that's a new way of thinking. The modern scientists, they have a lot of intelligence. And with intelligence, you can examine details. And if you want to become professor and make a doctorate or make a thesis in the universities, you have to write as much as possible about as little as possible. Because then you are a big specialist. But then most scientists, they just dig down into their own speciality. But Martinus cosmology is based on intuition. And with intuition, you can see the wholeness. And it is a kind of spiritual x-ray. You can see the ideas and the principles with intuition. So Martinus is really an intuitive science where he can see the wholeness and everything that rules. And you can only manipulate or work or understand eternity with intuition. So sometimes it's very deep and it's the best explanation, but something it's too simple, because how can something alive come from something dead? How can something dead produce life? That's impossible. Science has one explanation, by chance, but to me that's no explanation. How can consciousness come from something dead? It is impossible to explain. It is just as impossible to explain that consciousness and life has come from something dead. It is to explain that energy can come out of nothing. And this is the living, the universe exists and the universe has been living for eternity. Natural science talks about Big Bang, and the size of the whole universe is less than 14 billion light years. It has a limited size. But Martinus thinks the universe is eternal and infinite. It has an eternal, and the whole universe has been a living being for eternity. You could also, with a religious word, say that the universe is the same as God. When was God born? When did God come around? Is there somebody who can kill God? Can God commit suicide? But just simply, God is the living universe and has been a living being for eternity. Why is God living? Why is God existing? There's no explanation. God is just existing. The universe is just existing. Life is just existing. Why is the energy existing? It's just simply existing. It is something that is. That is what Martinus also calls an X-analysis. But then he had made a special analysis of the living being. The living being has an eternal part that don't change, and have a part which is made out of energy that changes all the time. There is an I, or a self, outside the world of energies. And this self or the I are using the energies with the intermediate of the creative power. There is a creator with a creative power which has a created result. We have a created physical body and created spiritual bodies. And Martinus also calls the three parts for X1, X2 and X3. So Martinus has created an eternal world picture that in a way can explain everything. Principally, Martinus' cosmology can answer all questions, all major problems, and can explain it, can explain the meaning of life. And then the question is, why should we have such a world picture? And Martinus says that he has created his work in order to contribute to the creation of an everlasting peace on planet Earth. He wants to show that everything that Jesus did was right. Maybe you think if you behave like Jesus, you might be a religious fool. But if everybody on this planet Earth behaved like Christ, what would the world look like? Paradise. So, Martinus has created this eternal world picture in order to show that it pays to be good. Or in order to show that to behave like Christ, then you're not a religious fool, then you are very scientific. The most logical and most scientific way to behave is to behave like Christ. That is to practice neighborly love. That is a scientific approach to life. But you cannot explain that to materialists with a one life theory. In order to make that logical, or to make it scientific, you have to create an eternal world picture. And that is what Martinus has done. And he also says that his spiritual science is a science of love. And it's also a science of Christianity. But in order to explain the meaning of life, in order to explain the role of the darkness, I think the biggest achievement in Martinus' cosmology is his explanation of the meaning of sufferings, the darkness. Martinus is defending the darkness. He is defending the sufferings and showing why they must exist. I've already touched it in the beginning of the lecture. Without contrast, you cannot experience anything. So, it is an advantage, it's a plus for the living being that contrasts are existing. Without contrasts, no life experience, no living beings. So it's an advantage that actually contrasts are existing. But in a more local perspective, Martinus says, the evolution takes place, the evolution of the consciousness takes place by experience. When you have suffered yourself, afterwards, you can feel with others. You develop your feelings, you develop your compassion from own sufferings, from the experience of own problems. And that leads you to neighborly love and compassion. So experiences of sufferings, problem, illnesses is an advantage. It is something good. Then you could say it is unjust, but you just experience the consequences of your own acts. Could you imagine if life was constructed in such a way that whenever you made a mistake, it had a pleasant consequence? If that was the consequence, you would never stop to make mistakes. But you are in a world where you learn by trial and error and trial and error. And for that reason, nature is constructed in such a way, if you make a mistake, it has an unpleasant consequence. And for that reason, the unpleasant experiences are good, because they are helping you in the evolution. And Martinus is talking about, with the intuition, you can see it's so simple. There are only two kinds of experiences. There are pleasant experiences, and then there are unpleasant experiences. And of course, the pleasant experiences are good. And the unpleasant experiences are also good, according to what I... But they are unpleasant. So in a way, you could divide all experiences. There is the pleasant good and the unpleasant good. And for that reason, everything is very good. And that gives a very optimistic way of thinking. And Martinus has explained that the cause to all illness is negative thinking. And for that reason, it's very important to study this cosmic world picture, because it shows that everything is 100% expresses 100% justice, and it's 100% logical, and it's 100% loving. So Martinus gives a very positive world picture, And yes, I know it's very hot, but I will just finish by mentioning that this world picture, this eternal world picture, is also a description of the living universe. It's also a description of God that has been explained in all religions. But in Islam and Christianity, and also by the Jews, they explain the difference between God and the creation of God, God's work, so to speak. But Martinus says God is everything that exists. Every single living being is a cell in God's organism. So whenever we are talking to another living being, we are talking to God, so to speak. And so, a few days ago I was asked if I had a religious practice. I don't know if I have a religious practice, but I guess that Martinus would recommend that we become conscious of every time when we have a life experience, every time when we meet a living being, we are meeting God. So in that way, everyday life should turn into a religious practice. And the law of life is to be to help all other living beings, to be a blessing, a benefit, an advantage to all other living beings. And Martinus is also talking about prayer. And prayer is in four different levels. In the first level, you are praying for personal advantages. Please let me become a millionaire. Please let me win the gold medal. And you want some advantages. At a higher level, you pray for health. Give me strength and energy to take my karma, to take my fate. That cannot damage others, that I can solve my own problems. But at a higher level, you can pray for inspiration and help to find the best solution when there are problems. And sometimes you can pray, if one of us is going to work somewhat more or to sacrifice a pleasant life, I would prefer that to help others. If you pray, you have a problem and you pray, please show me the best solution. Even if I should sacrifice something of my pleasant life, even if I should work harder. And then Martinus says, it's very easy for the guardian angels to put the right idea into your head, because you are praying for the best solution. But prayer at the highest level, and maybe now you'll become a little bit disappointed, is just simple. The speech of life, to understand the speech of life, just simple to talk to God, to talk to the universe. That is, according to Martinus, the highest level of prayer, because then life turns into another process. You're not only talking to other individuals, you're talking to God. So also in a spiritual, scientific way, it is possible at the end to get a personal relationship to God. But you only get this personal relationship if you have had a lot of conversation with God. And Martinus shows how we can learn to understand the meaning of life. Even if it is plant, animals, other human beings in nature, everything, any time when you have an experience, God is talking to you. And that is very magic. Then the life will turn into something very divine, because then you are in the evolution. The meaning of the physical world is evolution. And the meaning of the evolution is to lead to cosmic consciousness. And at the end, when you get cosmic consciousness, you get one with the consciousness of God. And you are on the right track when you start to talk about God in a spiritual, scientific way. So I wish you a nice future, and thank you for your attention.